If you're able, stand with me in honor of the Word of God as I read John 12, 12 through 19. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Welcome to this Palm Sunday. I'm glad you're here today. We are celebrating Jesus riding into Jerusalem as king, the triumphal entry. I titled this Hosanna. This is what we've been singing today, salvation, save us. And Jesus is riding in as that king today. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all record this story. And they emphasize a lot the last week of Jesus' life, which we're entering into. So, for instance, the Gospel of John that we're reading from today, the triumphal entry is in chapter 12. And all the rest of the Gospel of John will be about this last week of Jesus' life. So the emphasis is on this final week. This is what the gospel writers would have remembered very acutely, and they wrote a lot about that. And so what is this story about? What is this triumphal entry about, the shouts and cries of Hosanna? What is the meaning, more importantly? What is the meaning of this event? What is Palm Sunday? And what does Palm Sunday still have to speak to us today? I first want to look at two things that all four of the gospel writers have in common. So all four gospels include this grand entrance of Jesus into the great city of Jerusalem, humble, mounted on a donkey, to fulfill the prophecy of the prophet Zechariah, coming as Rifle prayed and others and we've sung from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. All four include that. And all four gospels include this shout of praise of Hosanna, which comes from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 reads in verses 25 through 26, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." What's going on in this psalm? They're really not for sure what this celebration was for, this specific event of this great celebration. But we know that this word here, "save us," is the word Hoshiana. It's actually a phrase. Hoshea na. It is a Hebrew word that we're translating it with those letters and saying it that way. But the word that they translate when they're shouting, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem, is the word we have said today, Hosanna. So this Hebrew phrase, save us, Hoshea na, this is the only place that this is found in the Bible. It's found in Psalm 118:25, where it does mean save. Save us now, save please, save. It's a cry to God for help. But there's a progression in the word from into the Greek for Hosanna. And trying to look at this word and its kind of, you know, progression and how it changed and what it gradually came to mean when they were shouting it. When Jesus rode in, they weren't necessarily shouting, save us. They were shouting, salvation has come. Salvation is here. Like before, they're crying in the psalm, save us. Come on, God. And then when Jesus is riding in, they're shouting, Hosanna, salvation is here. It's a cry of joy, a cry of celebration, a cry full of hope. Like the answer is here. We've cried, Hoshea na, save us. And now we're crying, Hosanna, with joy and hope. The King has arrived. Hooray, for salvation is coming. It's here. John Piper, he kind of explained this in this word. He's really good at explaining, you know, Hebrew and Greek and the breakdown of these words. He said it's like, when you're little and you can't swim yet and you get pushed in the water, maybe pushed off a diving board or something, and you're splashing, crying, save, save, save me, save me. That's kind of like, Hoshea na, Hoshea na, save me. Like, cry out. But he said, Hosanna's like when you get shoved in the water and you can't swim, but you see the lifeguard coming to get you, and you know you're going to be saved, and you cry, Hosanna, Hosanna. So I thought that was good, just to help us see the progression of that word. You actually see the King has arrived. You actually see salvation coming. The time of the Lord, the visitation of the Lord is here, like Zechariah in the temple saying the time of visitation is here. The Savior has come. He has arrived as just a little baby. But this is the fully grown King Jesus riding in. So this story is about a king. I mean, this story is all about a king, and it's about a king arriving and coming and presenting himself as king. He is bringing salvation, and there is shouts of Hosanna. Clearly, from Psalm 118, there is him riding in on this donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. He is riding into Jerusalem on this donkey, and he's presenting himself as king. This is the story. This is the meaning in the story. And what we see here is that not everybody is shouting. Not everyone is shouting this praise. We see from our text in John 12:19, at the close of our text, we see the Pharisees saying to one another, we're losing. I'm trying to shut this guy down. You see that you are, you know, gaining nothing. We haven't made any progress. Look, the whole world has gone after him. So the Pharisees are not happy about this. You see the opposition there. Luke gives us, and Matthew, a little bit more clarity against this Psalm 118 shout of Hosanna, this praise to the King of Israel coming. Luke 19:39 through 40 says, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Not only are they not praising, they are trying to shut it down. And they're telling Jesus to rebuke his disciples. And Jesus answers them in verse 40 and says, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. The rocks will cry out if these are silent. So not only is Jesus not shutting it down, he's saying he's encouraging it. Then in Matthew 21, Matthew records it as verses 1 through 11, the triumphal entry. And then he says, kind of as Jesus enters into the temple, he has a temple cleansing again. Matthew 21, 12 through 13 cleanses the temple. And then in Matthew's record of the event in verse 14, he begins to heal. Heals the blind and the lame are healed in the temple. And then Matthew records that in verses 15 and 16 of Matthew 21, but when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, to Jesus, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise. Jesus is not discouraging the praise of these children. He's encouraging it all the more, giving scripture to back it up. He's encouraging praise from his disciples, praise from these children, praise from the crowd, praise from everybody. He's receiving it openly now. He's no longer telling people after he heals them, be quiet, don't tell anybody. He's like healing the blind and lame in the temple, and the children are praising him as the Son of David, the King, descendant from David. And everybody gets it. And the leaders definitely get it. And they're trying to shut it down, and Jesus is encouraging it all the more. He's saying, bring it on. No praise from the Pharisees, but opposition to suppress the praise. No praise from the chief priests and the scribes, but suppression of the praise and opposition. Opposition to this Hosanna cry. Hosanna. Salvation. Looking to this one for salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even the King of Israel, they were shouting. The King! This is what Palm Sunday is about. John 12, 14, and then 15 says, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming. From Hosanna to Hosanna. The king is coming, sitting on a donkey. He's riding in on a donkey. He's here. Salvation has arrived. And they know the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. The riding on the donkey, behold your king, the shouts of praise, even the King of Israel, the laying of palm branches, we read uniquely from John's gospel that we read today, the laying of palm branches. The others mention branches, branches from trees laid in his path. John specifically mentions palm branches, that's what we call it, Palm Sunday, laying those branches in his path. The king is here, they're shouting. Everything in this story, everything in the meaning of this story is Jesus presenting him as the King of Israel. Jesus is publicly presenting himself as the King of Israel, and Jesus is receiving the praise as the King of Israel. So Jesus was just not a good teacher. I don't know if that would have ever got him crucified. Jesus was a claimant to the throne. Jesus didn't silence the crowds. He didn't say they were wrong and their praise to him as king. It was so right that if they didn't praise him, the very stones would cry out and do it. People of Jerusalem were expressing great joy. And that joy was so appropriate, so necessary, that if they didn't express that praise, it would be appropriate for inanimate objects to fill in the void. They were submitting to the royalty of King Jesus coming in by laying their cloaks and palm branches in his path. That's the story of Palm Sunday. It cannot be missed. But could anybody else really imagine the cost? You know, when somebody says they're the king and they make a claim to the throne, you better get to it and get to that throne, or you're going to get your head cut off. Claimants to the throne either make it or they get killed. So when you make a claim to the throne, it's a very dangerous thing to do, and Jesus knew it. All four Gospels, in the trial of Jesus, his arrest and subsequent trial before Pilate, all record Pilate asking Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" That's what he's on trial for. He's on trial for this Palm Sunday, this public claim to the throne of Israel. All four Gospels record that. We know from John, when Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" the other four Gospels say, "You have said so." In John, Jesus says, "Yes, but not a kingdom of this world." Jesus came knowing his kingdom was not of this world. He came claiming the throne, knowing that he came to give his life, not to lord it over, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He had told them this. He had told them over and over again, his disciples, this would happen. He would be rejected and die, and on the third day rise again. But they were unable to see and understand what he was talking about. But Jesus knew. He knew what this would cost, and it's what he received his mocking over when the soldiers mocked Jesus. They put a robe on him, a crown of thorns, jammed it on his head, hit him, spit in his face. It was what the mocking was all about. John 19:3 says they came up to him saying, "Hail, King Jesus, King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews." It's what they mocked him about. And they struck him with their hands. He was rejected by the leaders as king of the Jews. John 19:14, when it came down to his crucifixion, ultimate crucifixion, says it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Behold your king." It's about him being king. "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him!" Many of the same crowd that had shouted, "Hosanna." "Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" It's about him being king. "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Palm Sunday is about Jesus being king. It's about his public reception of the praise, being king. That's what got him crucified, and he knew it would. But you see, Zechariah didn't just say that Jesus would come riding humbly in on this donkey. Zechariah 12 goes on to say in verse 10, God speaking, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. In this scripture, N.T. Wright writes, how could God say, they look on me on whom they have pierced? Could God be wounded? Even more puzzling, could God be pierced, which indicates a killing? Could God be killed? In other words, could God die? And we know from John specifically writes in John 19:34 that one of the soldiers, rather than breaking the legs of Jesus, he broke the legs of the other servants that were crucified on his left and right. And they came to break Jesus' legs in order to fulfill prophecy. No bone in his body would be broke. They'd break their legs and they couldn't push up and get any more air into their lungs. They pushed up with their legs, speed up the death. They didn't break Jesus' legs. Instead, John records in John 19:34 that one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. Pierced his side with a spear. And at once there came out blood and water. God was pierced in his son Jesus. Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. Not only was he fully God, he was fully man. Moreover, the prophecy predicted Jesus was the only child, the firstborn son of the Father. In our great scripture of John 3:16, we read that he was the only begotten son of the Father. The only begotten. The firstborn son and the only son of the Father. And he offered him up. He gave him. God gave him. He gave us his one and only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It is in him. His side was pierced for us. So this journey into Holy Week that we're entering in, this whole Lenten season that we've been getting excited and praying for, this time of our hearts to be softened before the Lord, walking before him in humble repentance before God, spending maybe more time with him, seeking to listen more intently. It's led up to this Palm Sunday. And this Palm Sunday is all about Jesus and Jesus riding in on this donkey humbly to the throne, and that throne would be accessed through the cross. And Jesus knew it. What do you think one of the most biggest tragedies is in life? Do you ever see some things that are just really kind of horrific and tragic and think, man, that's hard. That's really difficult. Some tragic things that happen in the world all around us. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote what is the greatest tragedy in the world? The fact that the world is blinded and unable to believe in the gospel. Greatest tragedy in the world. This unbelief that we see in Jesus' final days, at his triumphal entry, Luke records he weeps over Jerusalem, and they are blind to see and recognize their day of visitation, when God visited them uniquely. So yes, some would cry out praise, lay palm branches at his feet, but the next week they would cry out for his crucifixion. The gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection is the only saving word of God. And people still today reject Jesus. They still reject the gospel, and they're still blind in unbelief, and that's the greatest tragedy. In a sinful and corrupt heart that leads people to reject the gospel, Jesus weeps still today. Jesus wept over the city at their unbelief, and Jesus weeps still. How about you? Can you see your King? Will you shout praise? But will you see the cost of what it took for him to become king, that he was riding humbly, offering himself as a sacrifice, your king willing to die for you? Can you hear from that Zechariah 12 that God is granting that he will be pierced in his side, but he's granting a spirit of grace that you would be able to cry out with pleas of mercy, that your eyes would be open to see the one who was pierced in his side and mourn? Have you looked upon Jesus in whom they pierced? Have you looked up and seen your King who died for you? Have you looked and considered the cost? Because Jesus did, and he figured that it was, you were valuable and precious enough to him to pay that cost, to pay for it in his death, his blood, lifeblood being shed upon the cross. It's one or the other. It's receiving and crying out, Hosanna, save us, and it's seeing Jesus pierced in his side and saying salvation has come, and really with full understanding, knowing and praising him and shouting that today, Hosanna, my salvation has come, and it's come in one way, through the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes, we shout, save us. We cry out for salvation, and our salvation has come. It is here. As believers, we receive it, and we sing out praise of salvation to our King. We shout out praise unto him. Yes, Jesus was mocked for who he truly was. He was truly God's King. Believers celebrate him as King today. Let us, as believers, shout and sing glory to his name. May we still come to Jesus, ourselves humble and lowly in heart, recognizing our need for him. May we say thank you for a King who died for us while we were traitors and has given us new hearts and written on our very hearts his word, anointed by his Spirit, transforming us to become his loyal subjects. We love our King. We love Jesus. We bow to his name and we confess he is Lord of lords and King of kings. John Piper put it this way, the main message of Palm Sunday. The king has come to his rebel subjects, and he has offered peace terms at last. The terms for peace are simple. Lay down your arms, especially your weapons of self-righteousness and self-sufficiency, and admit your defeat. Accept your full and free pardon, total amnesty that only the king can grant, and swear your allegiance to the new king in your life. Amen. Whew. There's nothing more satisfying in all the world. The opposite of the greatest tragedy in the world is this, that you would be a believing subject of a king like Jesus, your ruler and your defender. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing in closing, Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. We're going to invite you to the Lord's table. If you're a believer in Jesus, in this gospel your eyes have been opened to, you're welcome to join us in taking the Lord's Supper. This has the juice, the fruit of the vine in the top, and a cracker in the bottom, so there's two cups there. And as you come and receive this, just return to your seat and we'll say a prayer and celebrate communion together. Please come. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks to the Father for it. And he said, "This is my body. Take and eat of it and do this in remembrance of me. Let us partake of the bread together." In like manner, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, given for you for the remission of sins. Take and drink of it, and do this in remembrance of me, and remember my death until I come." Let us partake of the cup together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just savor the gift of your Son, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. And we want to just take him in. We want to just consumed more and more of Jesus, and we want him to be the focus of our life, the sustaining strength in our life, the water in our life, the life-giving water, his blood and his body to fuel us and fuel everything we do, God, for you alone, the gift of your Son, Jesus, is the only thing that ultimately satisfies the longing of our soul. And Lord, as we acknowledge that as believers today, help us to worship you. Help us to worship Jesus and to offer up a sacrifice of praise from the lips that give thanks to your name. May we shout to our Messiah. May our hearts cry out, Hosanna to him today in new and powerful ways. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Become his righteousness. for sinners, a ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Let's give a shout of praise to the Lord and clap our hands. Hosanna, we praise you, Lord. Please receive this blessing from the Gospel of John. In the first chapter, he said, "He came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Go and walk as children of God. Walk as children of the light and be a light to this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. Love one another.